Good morning.
Good morning.
A very warm welcome to each one that's gathered here to worship today. Before I have the call to worship, I want to share some joy with you. It's called Local Love. And this is through the work and effort of somebody that we don't recognize in our church any more than someone who plays the piano. But you know, Trudy does a lot of work behind the scenes on behalf of community services. And this week, due to her taking the time and the interest to fill in an application, community services of our church received a grant for $5,000 from the local branch of United Way. So I think you need to know that. And we need to thank Trudy for her effort in applying for not only this one, but we get many more, some from ADRA. And we're very thankful for any grants that we get so that we can help those who are in need in this community. Our call to worship today is from 1 Chronicles. And I would like you in your hearts to join David in his praise to God. This is from the New King James Version, found in chapter 29 of 1 Chronicles, verses 10 to 13. It says, "Therefore David blessed the Lord before all the assembly, and David said, 'Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now therefore, O God, we thank you and praise your glorious name.'" Let us pray. Yes, indeed, Father, we do praise your glorious name. All that we are, all that we have come from you. And we are thankful that the gates of heaven are open to pour out upon us your love, your mercy, your grace, and your abundant blessings. So as we come here today to worship you, we ask that your Holy Spirit will be here, that he will find a resting place in our hearts, and that we will leave here feeling we have truly been in your presence and go forward in faith to continue to serve and to love you. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our opening hymn as praise time here is Ready to Sing is number 92, This is My Father's World. And on the platform today, in addition to those of the praise team, we have Cody Croker, who will be doing the scripture reading. Our pastor will have the service, the sermon today, Pastor Wayne Colmore. And our special music will be by Ellen and Papa Kojo. So let's join in praise and worship. This is Our Father's World.
Please stand wherever possible.
Around me rings the music.
morning, everyone. Happy Sabbath. Today I'll be reading from the book of Luke, chapter 15, verses 20. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him.
Now we will have our prayer song, Whisper a Prayer.
Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we pray this morning through the power of your Spirit that you will put our hearts in tune with yours, that you would speak to our minds and our hearts, that we will have the ability to understand and comprehend what you have in store for us this day. We thank you for the gift of this Sabbath. We are so thankful that we can come together as your children and celebrate and give praise and honor and glory to you. For truly, Father, this morning in this place of worship, we have an audience of one, and that is you. We pray you will bless, Father, all of the dads who are here and those who one day will become a dad. We thank you for this gift of fatherhood, but we thank you for being our compassionate, gracious, loving Father. Fathers, we think of our church family here this morning and those watching over on live stream, that you will bring an abundance of blessing to each individual. We think of those who are absent this morning because of illness. We pray that you would restore them to health. Father, we love you and we praise you. In the precious name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.
Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath, church.
Happy Sabbath.
Right. So sometimes the pressures in this life heightens or brings out our human weaknesses. But then again, this morning, we want to remind us all of Jesus' promises in Matthew 11:28, which says, "Come unto me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest." So join us in prayer this morning as we minister unto you. Where could I go but to the Lord?
Just informed that they also lead out with our teens. So thank you. Thank you. I had a couple of surreal moments this morning. One when Cody was reading the scripture reading, and the other one when I was sitting in my office. The last time I saw my dad, he was sick with Alzheimer's, and we were back during Canadian Thanksgiving, and they were living in Oshawa. And I remember I was in his kitchen, small little kitchen, and my dad had become a very frail man. He was barely over 100 pounds. He was short, but if I close my eyes right now, I can see him just like I did that day in the kitchen. Had on a blue sweater, and my mother used to get on him all the time because he would always drip soup when he would eat soup, you know. And so she tried to put something over him, but he always made a little bit of a mess. And I remember we were about ready to go out the door, and I turned around, and he was standing there with his arms like this. And this is why I thought of this when Cody was reading the scripture reading this morning, because I turned around and I ran to my dad, and we hugged each other. And he said to me, he said, "Wayne, this is the last time you're going to see me." I said, "No, I'll be back after Christmas." "No, this is going to be the last time that you will see me alive." At Christmas time, over the holidays, my son and I were part of a Sports Outreach International, a hockey team. We played in Europe. We played Austria, Germany, at that time Czechoslovakia. We were flying back home, and we were in New York City at the airport, and I heard my name being called. And I turned to my son. I said, my dad's gone. And he was. But I cherish that moment that I had with him in the kitchen. And I can't wait until Jesus comes and I can run to my dad again. What a great privilege being a father. I remember sitting in a meeting, it was an administrative council at Canadian Union College, and I was dean of men at the time, and the dean of women handed me a card, and on that card, it said, "Happy Father's Day." And I go, "Why would you give me a card that says Happy Father's Day?" And excuse me, but this is what she said: "Are you that stupid?" I said, "What do you mean? What does that card say?" Happy Father's Day. And I jumped out of my chair and I ran to the dormitory, and Sylvia was waiting for me. That was her way of telling me that we were going to have a child. 9 months later, when James was born, he didn't want to come out. He loved his mother so much, he wanted to stay in as long as he could. But he finally came out, and what a wonderful experience that was, holding my son for the very first time. I had tears rolling down my cheeks. I was proud to be a dad. And then that night, I went home, and back to the dormitory, and it was in January, so the weather wasn't that real good. So I got up early the next morning, and I made my way to Red Deer, Alberta, where James and Sylvia were. And I was coming around a corner in Black Falls, and I hit black ice, and my car started sliding towards an 18-wheeler. I had no control of the car, and all I remember saying was, "Jesus, help me." And the car just turned sideways, went over the side of the road, and stopped. And I sat there for the longest time before I had enough energy to be able to drive to the hospital. And while I sat there, I started thinking of all the things I would have missed. All the experiences my son had, playing hockey with him in Europe, attending his graduation, his marriage, grandchildren, all of that I would have missed. So those of us who are dads, we need to be extremely thankful that God has given us a glorious, glorious opportunity, and we need to use every moment of that to be a blessing to our children. So those are the two things that kind of came into my mind this morning. And I just want to tell you how thankful I am to be standing here before you as a father. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we're going to reflect on you right now, on your heart, and your incredible, unending, unconditional love for us. Please give us a glimpse of your graciousness, your compassion, your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. The father of five children had won a toy at a raffle. You know what that is, right? They draw a number or whatever. And he won this toy. And so he called his five children together to see which of them should get the toy. So he's going to ask some questions. And the first question he asked, who is the most obedient? They kind of looked at each other, these children. And then he said, who never talks back to mother? And again, they kind of looked at one another. Then he asked the final question, who does everything she says? And the five small voices answered in unison, okay, Dad, you get the toy. At least the father was modeling obedience. Maybe I should have entitled the message this morning, The Obedient Dad. Now, I realize that what I'm about to share with you may be very difficult for some of you, because the concept of a loving, present father is foreign to a lot of people. I remember one of the first times I ever preached a sermon on Father's Day, I preached on the compassionate father, and a church member at the end of the service greeted me at the back door, and she says, that was the most hurtful sermon I have ever heard, because I have no idea what it's like to have a loving, compassionate father. When we accept Jesus, okay, thank you, Brian, I just needed to turn it on here. When we accept Jesus as our personal Savior, we are not left to face life challenges alone. In fact, you could read this to say, when I accept Jesus as my personal Savior, I am not left to face life challenges alone. He welcomes us into His heavenly family, and I love this part of it, and invites us to call His Father our Father. We become His little ones, cherished by God, and united to Him with deep, lasting bonds. His love for us is tender beyond measure, far greater than even the most compassionate love of an earthly father or mother for their helpless child. Kurt Kaiser, a Christian songwriter, penned these words, oh, how He loves you and me. He gave His life. What more could He give? Oh, how He loves you. And oh, how He loves me. And oh, how He loves you and me. And beloved, that is what determines our worth. That's what determines our value. We are loved by a compassionate, loving father. I want you to picture with me for a moment a busy father sitting at his office desk. Emails are piling up, deadlines are fast approaching, and suddenly his cell phone vibrates, and his daughter's photo lights up the screen of his phone. And he looks at it, and he pauses, and he just lets it ring. I'll call back later, he thinks. Hours pass, the days end, and he picks up the phone, and no new messages. And when he finally calls back, a sweet little voice answers, it's okay, Dad. I just wanted to tell you that I got an award today, but I already told Mom. In that moment, the father realizes that he is present in the world, but he's not present in the home. He's connected to everything except the things that matter the most. I'll tell you this morning that if I have my phone with me and I'm in a meeting and my phone vibrates and it's one of my children, they take priority. I answer it immediately. In today's world, it's easy for dads to be connected to everything. Work, news, technology, but miss the quiet voice of their children. And worse yet, even the still small voice of God. Malachi 4:6 says, "He shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children." To you who are fathers, God isn't calling you to be providers and fixers. He's calling you to be present. He's calling you to be intentional. And he's calling you to be spiritually awake. And just like our Heavenly Father is never too busy for us, he invites earthly fathers to reflect on the same love and attention to their family. Scripture tells us that fathers are called to be priests of the home, nurturing their families with love and with truth, and teaching their children what it means to love God and to love one another. Earthly fathers are called upon to reflect God's character, to reflect his grace, his patience, and to model spiritual leadership. Now, I loved my dad, and I mean I really did love my dad. But in terms of providing any spiritual guidance, in that arena, my dad was always absent. My mother took on that responsibility. And also in terms of punishment for any wrong that I may have committed, I cannot remember a time when my dad punished me. But yet I love my dad. That responsibility of punishment was also given to my mother. And I'm sorry to say this morning, in that arena, I kept her very busy. But I must confess, I never once questioned my mother's love for me. Now, I went to Holloway School on Longs Hill. And if I was diagnosed back then, I probably would have been diagnosed with, attention deficit disorder. I couldn't sit still in class. And so back in those days, you got punished quite often in school if you misbehaved. And this one time, the teacher decided it was time to call my mother, and if I got strapped at school, I got strapped at home. It was just the way it was. So this one day, I got home, and I walked in the door, and my mother was there to greet me, and she was not a happy camper. In fact, she says, "Wayne, I want you to go up to your bedroom, and when your dad gets home, you're going to get a beating." And I went up to my bedroom, and I sat there, and I got thinking about my dad coming home. My dad has never strapped me. I wonder if all this stuff is built up inside of him, and I'm going to get a whooping now. So I hear my dad coming in, and my mom said, "You need to get up there and take care of Wayne." And I heard that it was an interesting conversation, because my dad marched up the stairs immediately, came into the bedroom, and he had a strap in his hand. And he looked at me, and he said, "Wayne, when I hit this bed, you yell." So he hit that bed and I yelled. He hit that bed and I yelled. He hit that bed and I yelled. Next thing, my mother's running up the stairs. She opens up the door just as my dad hit that bed, and she ran to him. She took that strap out of his hand. She chased him down the hallway, down the stairs, out the front door, and down the backyard. And I walked out of the bedroom. And my grandfather's bedroom was right at the top of the stairs, so I walked by my grandfather's bedroom, and he goes like this. He was telling me to hide under the bed. So I crawled under the bed. Next thing, my mother come up the stairs, and she says, "You see Wayne?" And my grandfather says, "I don't see him. I don't see him." Well, he couldn't see me. I was under the bed. It was the only day that I remember that I was going to get a strapping that I didn't get a strapping. I remember the day, that last day, that my son needed to be punished for something he did, and I was struggling as to what to do. And I brought him upstairs to his bedroom, and I had a little strap in my hand. And I said to him, "James, do you deserve to be punished for what you've done?" He says, "Yes, I do." "But you don't have to do it." Well, I said, "James, if you did something that's wrong, and you agree that punishment needs to take place because of it, then shouldn't you be punished?" "Yes, but you don't have to do it." Well, I said, "James, unfortunately, someone's going to have to pay the price for what you've done." Now, I had read what HMS Richard Sr. did a few years previous, and I was going to try something with him that I was praying in my heart and mind that he would do what I would hope he would do. So I turned to James, and I said, "Son, someone has to pay the price, and it's going to be me." And he looked at me, and I saw his eyes wide open, and I put a strap in his hand, and I laid on the bed. And I said, "Now, James, strap me." "No, Daddy, I cannot do that, Daddy." "James, strap me." "Daddy, I can't." "James, someone has to pay the price. Now, strap me." And he dropped the strap to the floor, and he started to cry. And I put him on the side of the bed, and I said, "Son, do you know that somebody paid the price for all of our bad behavior? And it was our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." It was a moment between a father and a son that I will cherish until I take my last breath, because it reminds me of a very compassionate God who sent his only son into the world so that we would not have to take the punishment. He took it for us. He took our strapping. My friends, earthly fathers, we are called to reflect the love, the mercy, and character of our Heavenly Father. So this morning, as I conclude the message, I've got just 4 points that I want to make with you in just a moment, and very quickly. I want to look at a story Jesus told that shows us what it means to be a loving Father, a Father after God's own heart. Luke 15, 11 to 32, we find the story of the prodigal son. Actually, we could name that different names. We could call it the parable of the complaining brother, or we could call it the parable of the loving father. But we're going to look at it from the perspective of the father this morning. In Luke 15, 12, or Luke chapter 15, we find these four truths. We find the willingness of the father to let go. We find the father's compassion. We find a father who loves to celebrate. And finally, we find the father's fairness. In Luke 15, 12 shows the father's willingness to let go, and it says, "So he divided to them his livelihood." Now, it's important to remember this, that when the inheritance was given to the prodigal, it was also given to his brother. They both received the inheritance. So you can almost see why the prodigal's brother was a little upset when he came home, because now he's going to come home and he's going to want what he has. But there's a little element of selfishness that Jesus dealt with in that particular story too. And so the scripture tells us that the father lets the son go. What does he do? He respects freedom. God grants us free will. And when we make bad choices, remember this, he also longs for reconciliation. Our Heavenly Father is a God of love, and he doesn't control or coerce. He gives us room for grace, for growth and choice. I remember when my son wanted to go to a particular concert I didn't want him to go to. And so he said to me, "Dad, give me a good reason why I shouldn't go." So I gave him a reason. And he said, "Well, that's not good enough. Okay, I'll give you another one." And he said, "No, I don't buy that." I think I got to almost 7 or 8 reasons why he shouldn't go to this concert. And finally, I turned to him and I said, "James, I'm out of reasons." And I said, "I love you. and I don't want you to go. But I said, I'm going to leave the decision up to you. God says, I don't want you to do this or that. I don't want you to go. But he will not coerce you. He will not keep you back. He gives you the freedom of choice. Sometimes the hardest love is just letting go. Sometimes, I remember as a dean of men, with certain fellows and the things they wanted to do, I wanted to put them into a holy headlock and not let them out until they realized that they shouldn't do what they had planned on doing. But God doesn't do that with us. So sometimes the hardest love is just letting go and trusting God to work as we wait and we pray. And some of us in this sanctuary, and those of you watching online, are still waiting and praying for our children to come back to Jesus. And we will not stop praying as dads and as mothers until we breathe our last breath. It's who we are and it's what we do. In Luke 15, 20, Jesus talks about the Father's compassion. But when he was still a great way off, his Father saw him and had compassion. The scripture tells us that the Father ran, which was culturally undignified at that particular time. But this dad, nothing was going to stop him from running to his son. So our Heavenly Father is not distant, but he is intimately involved in our salvation. He is always present. Now, I have to believe that when that prodigal son was in the pig pen, through the Holy Spirit, God was with him. And the Holy Spirit turned the son's head towards the father's house. God is always present. It amuses me sometimes when we come into the sanctuary and we invite God to join us. Really, God is always here. God is always present. What we need to pray is, Lord, give us the awareness that you are here with us right now, this morning. The message that the world needs to hear is that God longs to save and not to condemn. As fathers, we are to show our children grace and compassion when they stumble, not point our fingers at them, not be critical of them, but to show them compassion and demonstrate our willingness to seek forgiveness when we fail. So we are to model both repentance and forgiveness. I remember coming back for an evening meal when I was dean of men at Canadian Union College. And we were going to have a little meal, then worship together, and I was going to head back up to the dorm. But I was really frustrated that particular day, and I was anxious, and my kids were acting up and really bothering me. And so I did not act like a loving, compassionate father when I was at the house. So we ate our meal, and then we had our worship, and then I said, I've got to go back to the dorm. So I went back to the dorm, and I sat in my chair up there for a while. And I couldn't get out of my head how nasty I was to my son. It bothered me so much. And I sat there, and I prayed. I said, Lord, I feel like I did something awful. And the Holy Spirit worked on my heart and took me back. I told one of the fellas, take care of things here in the office, and I'm going to go back home for a while. And when I got home, the kids were already asleep. So I walked in my son's bedroom and I sat on the side of his bed and I watched him sleep for a while. And then I woke him up and I said, James, I wasn't very nice to you tonight. I was sharp and I was short with you and I apologize. Will you forgive me? And he said, I forgive you, Daddy, and I love you. Now can I go back to sleep? This time when I went back up to my office, I went up feeling a lot better. We model all kinds of things to our kids. Don't ever hesitate not to model forgiveness and repentance. Luke 15, 24 shows us a father who knows how to celebrate. You know, it's interesting. When I was president of the BC Conference, at the beginning of camp meeting, I always made this announcement. I said, the complaint department is now closed, but the praise department is open. And I remember the first year that I did that, I did not have one single complaint come to me as the president of the conference. It was amazing. Well, I did have one. A man came over to me with a smile on his face. I have a complaint. And I said, my complaint is that I can't complain. I said, well, that's a good one. When we walk through the door of a church on Sabbath morning, this ought to be the most joyful, wonderful, happy, safe place on earth. We ought to be able to walk through that door with a smile on our face and say, I'm coming together with brothers and sisters to praise the one who has given us life. Because our God knows how to celebrate. I once gave a sermon entitled, The Kingdom of God is a Party. It was a book that I had read, and I liked the title. Well, somebody came up to me after church and said, I don't care for that title. And I said to her, I can understand that, and I appreciate you sharing that with me. But you know, the world has taken captive so many wonderful things that God has given to us. And I know that my Heavenly Father knows how to throw a party. In fact, I can't wait for the party that He's going to throw for us when we get to the kingdom. Our God knows how to celebrate. Why do you think Jesus, when He was telling this parable to people who were accusing Him because He was fellowshipping with sinners, eating and drinking with them, in the midst of this story, when this prodigal comes home, the father celebrates. He throws a party. Why? And listen to this carefully. Forgiveness is not grudging. Forgiveness is joyful. You know, when you forgive somebody, you've released them, and they can live their life again. That's what God wants to do for us every single day. He wants us to be able to live with joy. You know the fruit of the Spirit? The first one is what? Love. What's the second one? Joy. He wants us to experience joy constantly. The Father affirms, though, in this story, not just the prodigal, but He also affirms the elder brother, which we'll talk about in just a moment. So, here's what I would ask of you this morning. Celebrate your children, not just for their achievements, but for who they are. But for who they are. They are your kids, and they should always be loved and valued, even if you don't agree with their lifestyle. They are your children, and they deserve to be loved and valued. That's what God does to us. As I said a couple of weeks ago, is there anything you can do to make God not love you any more than He does at this very moment? Is there anything you can do to make Him love you less? I remember telling my daughter one time, I said, Julie, I want you to know something. There's nothing that you can do where you will not be my daughter. Regardless of your choices, I will always love you. Nobody can take that away from me. In Luke 15:31, speaks about the Father's fairness. Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. You see, the elder son struggled with fairness. And sometimes as church members, we can be just like that elder son. And when a prodigal walks through the back door of the church and comes to sit down, the strange things that go through our minds as we look at that person coming home. How could that person walk through the door of a church? Look how that person is dressed. And we can become so critical. So the Father does. He affirms both sons with love and truth. Do you know the interesting thing about the story of the prodigal son, especially the elder brother? He wanted his son, other son, to come join the celebration. But what does he do? He walks away. And you know that story never finishes? There's no conclusion to that story. The elder brother just walks out into the night. And so you ask yourself, does he come back? Perhaps Jesus has been talking to a bunch of elder brothers. And what he's wanting them to do is to be able to finish the story. Because if you take the story to its ultimate conclusion, our elder brother came to this world
to save us. I would pray that elder brothers in the church today would suddenly maybe one day wake up and you see your father kneeling by your brother's bed. And you can see the father's heart is broken. And so you pack up your things and you go and you look for your lost brother. And you find him. And he's in the pig pen. And you jump the fence. And you run to him. And you hug him. And you say to him, come home. And together you come to the father's house. As fathers, we are to be fair. We are to be present and remind our children that they are secure in our love regardless of their performance. We've got a lot of prodigals out there, but we also have a lot of brothers that need to come to the father's house. A story is told of a man in a courthouse who was about to adopt his stepson when his son had turned 18. And so he is now going to adopt him officially. And during the courtroom ceremony, he said, I didn't just marry your mom. I chose you too every day. And the young man in tears replied, you've been my dad long before the paperwork. Beloved, fatherhood isn't just biological. It's about choosing love daily, like our Heavenly Father who adopts us as his own. In Romans 8:15, but you have received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba. As our elder Joseph would say, by whom we cry, Daddy. By whom we cry, Daddy. So to the fathers who are here today, or for those of you who may be watching on live stream, God is not asking you to be perfect, just present. He is asking you to reflect his patience, his compassion, his joy and fairness. God is asking you to let your children see his heart through you. And to those of you this morning that may be struggling with your past, no matter what kind of earthly father you may have had, whether that father was good or absent or present, God is the perfect father, and he runs to meet you and loves you unconditionally, and he calls you his own. May God bless each one of us.
Thank you.
Let's pray together. Father, your love is so deep. Your love is beyond all measure. How you could give your only son, your one and only son, for a wretch like me and turn me into your treasure. Father, for the wounds that we have caused to Jesus, we apologize. We seek forgiveness. It was upon that cross that he bore all of our sins. And it is with shame, but also with thanksgiving, that we leave this church this morning knowing that we are loved unconditionally and compassionately by you, Father, our Heavenly Father. And so we conclude, and we recognize you as our Father, and we are your children, and we just want to say we love you very much. In Jesus' name, amen.